10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
They're off in the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns.
But it's all street sense drawing away.
It is all Barbaro. It is sublime performance.
Giacomo in the final stride to win Derby 131.
Also sponsored by Airdrie Stud, Claiborne Farm, Dean Dorton, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Spendthrift Farm, TwinSpires.com, the University of Louisville Equine Industry Program, and Windstar Farm.
And here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slough in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it. Big brown bounding home to a convincing end in the Run for the Roses.
But California Chrome shines bright in the Kentucky Derby. American Barrel and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
And the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby.
Now here's Jude Feld and Gabby Gaudette.
Everyone, wherever you may be in the world, welcome to the Kentucky Derby. I'm your host, Jude Feld, and for the next 3 days leading up to the Oaks and Derby, I'll be alongside the extremely talented Gabby Gaudette here on the backside at Churchill Downs to bring you all the Derby doings, as they say, in Louisville. What a beautiful day we have here in Louisville. A lot of people here today. It's a huge crowd. Gabby Gaudette is trackside. What's going on out there, Gabby?
Thank you very much. Well, we are standing trackside, guys. It is getting more. To the track. Now, a horse that just passed me is Justify. He shipped in yesterday for Bob Baffert. He's planning on just jogging once around the wrong way. So a light schedule for him here this morning, but he looked like he was in good energy. He's going to be sticking with the pony as well. Looks great in the flash. I've been really looking forward to seeing this horse in person, and he's really living up to the billing so far. A couple horses that just passed me was Dale Roman's Duo and Promises Fulfilled and Free Drop Billy. Both of them are jogging the wrong way as of now. Good-looking horses. And the one thing about Free Drop Billy is he isn't the biggest in size, but he sure does look good for considering his size. He's always been dappled. He's always been a good-looking horse. High energy in the morning, too. He's jogging with typical equipment today. He's got four white bandages on as well, similar to Promises Fulfilled, too. So it's a crazy situation here, Jude, in that you get to see all of these top class, the top three-year-olds in the country, all on the track at the same time. So you can imagine the excitement that we see here today. Not only that, Jude, we also see the top three-year-old fillies in the country as well, as we see Eskimo Kisses walking by right now. This is for Kenny McPeak. I think that she looks great, too. She is one that has been super consistent recently. But, Jude, these horses, it's funny because you try to analyze who looks good, who might not look as good coming onto or coming into Derby and Oaks weekend. But they all look good. They just show their class because they are the top three three-year-olds in the country.
Yeah, they really change, too, from day to day. You'll see a horse, you think, oh, he didn't go so good today. And then tomorrow something else happens, and he goes fantastic. So we all know that have been working on the backside for many years and been in the horse business. We know how horses change from day to day. And it takes 3-4 days of watching these horses in order to, you know, get a really good feel of who they are and where they are in their training.
And Monomoy Girl actually just jogged by with her pony. The pony rider is just keeping a little bit of a short hold with her. She is wearing four white bandages, a regular white bridle in here as well. But she looks fantastic. I will say it's got to be a little bit of a disappointment, though, for trainer Brad Cox to have to draw the one post and the 14 post in the Kentucky Oaks, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, that's never good. Trainer's nightmare, so to speak. But, you know, it's one of those things. Sometimes post makes a difference, but I'm of the opinion if you have the right horse, you can win from anywhere.
Yes, I do agree with you. It's just sometimes unfortunate to see arguably the best horse in the race have to overcome that obstacle. But I guess it would make winning all the more sweet if they can overcome, you know, that. The one thing about her is that she seems like a very classy filly in the morning, Jude. She trains nicely. She, you know, she's got good behavior. But in the afternoon, she can be a little bit of a temperamental, and she's got kind of a mind of her own, and we saw that really from her last two races. That would be my biggest concern, is that she is closest to the crowd. She has nobody to her outside. That could be probably her biggest obstacle to overcome, as we see Magnum Moon galloping by. He looks great this morning, Jude. That's another horse who's been a little bit temperamental in the afternoon, of course, in the Arkansas Derby, lugging out throughout the stretch. I thought it was surprising that we haven't seen any type of equipment changes, and Todd obviously making the right decision in his most recent work to keep him on the inside of his workmate, just trying to make sure that he doesn't lug out. Now, actually, Justify did turn around, and he's galloping now the right way. So I did hear reports that he was only going to be jogging once the wrong way, but it looks like he has turned around, and he is in an open gallop. The rider definitely has his hands full here today, so that's good to see, considering this is the first day on track, and he just shipped in. Noble Indy going by right now, too, a spirited gallop, but controlled gallop. Good energy here. We see... Who's this coming about? Audible. An Audible. Good lead switch there coming around the back stretch. He looks like a pretty classy horse, dude. I don't know if you've kind of noticed, but he seems like he's been pretty controllable in the mornings and has done pretty much everything right.
Yeah, he's a really cool horse. He seems to enjoy training, and he goes out there, does his business. He always looks sharp. He always, you know, has a very nice presence about him when he's on the racetrack, and I think that's an important thing.
Now, here's something that's interesting. We see Good Magic. He is, when you say spirited gallop, he is doing that times maybe three. He has really taken a hold of the bridle. This looks like a very, very energized gallop for him. The rider was trying to keep him out in the middle of the racetrack to get him to settle, but he had his head in the bit and was really pulling hard for the rider to control. Sometimes that's planned, Jude. Sometimes it's not.
Yeah, only the rider knows for sure, right? Until they get back to the barn, then the trainer yells at him. But you know, it's funny because yesterday when he was jogging, he really didn't seem very happy at all about jogging. But maybe he's just showing who's in charge. I'm going to gallop if I feel like it. So.
And sometimes we see that in once they get back to galloping, you know, after working and jogging. A couple days they get a little bit more aggressive. Another horse that looks like she's going pretty forwardly is Wonder Godot. However, that's kind of the typical Mark Cassie training style, is get them going in the morning. We see Free Drop Billy there, mouth wide open. He looks like he's really not responding to the rider right now. I think it's a little bit, Monomore Girl actually looks fantastic. She's got her ears pricked, really responding to the rider as well. She's actually down towards the rail too, which is interesting in that, Jude, sometimes, you know, when you want a horse to go a little bit slower, you try to keep them off of the rail because that is the cue to go faster. A lot of the time we see horses drop in over on the pole as they're going to begin their workouts. So she just looks like she's been handling herself very, very nicely this morning. Audible is galloping past again for the second time, ears pricked, looking good. I believe that was Hofberg that just went by. It looked like he was getting a little bit warm. Neil McLaughlin, Kieran McLaughlin's brother, is walking Take Charge Paula off of the track right now, too. She really intrigues me, Jude. I almost think that I might pick her. I haven't solidified that. She's definitely going to have to improve. But I find it curious that Kieran is adding blinkers to her for the first time. She seems like a very speedy filly, but For whatever reason, sometimes we don't see trainers make that type of equipment change on the big day. They like to do it kind of, you know, in the proceeding into the race. But I thought that that was interesting. Bolt D'Oro, man, have you seen him, Jude? He's a huge horse.
He is a beast. he looks good too. He's doing very well, I think.
Wow. He is a very imposing individual. I will say that, one of the more impressive horses I think I've seen on the track this morning. We've got My Miss Lily, who's, galloping past here. She's always been a little bit headstrong, so that's nothing new. She looks like she's going very nicely and pretty typical as to how she normally goes. Magnum Moon just jogging past me, trying to get off the gap this morning after his gallop. He is definitely feeling himself, I would say. He's on his toes, ears pricked, just all the signs that you like to see in a horse after galloping. It looks like he could probably go around five more times, dude.
Yeah, well, it's funny how each horse is so different. A lot of people think, oh, the horses go out, they gallop, they do whatever they do, and then they come home. Each one has their own horsenality, I like to say, and they kind of go about things differently, and it's sometimes very noticeable, their little quirks and traits that they have when they're training.
I will say that these horses are really, really feeling their oats this morning. We see Hofburg in a pretty forward gallop, too. My Boy Jack is under control. And now we see Audible jogging back off the gap, actually loping back. The rider's trying to get him into a jog, which she successfully did just now. But the Todd Pletcher horses, I don't think you can say anything negative about them this morning. They look like they've all been doing very well. Good Magic was reunited with his pony, and for given the really quickness of his gallop this morning, he looks great. He's still walking off the track in good fashion, so I wish I could say something not bad, but a negative about some of these horses. But the thing is, they all seem like they've been training like bears this morning, Jude.
Yeah, well, my favorite comment was about Bolt D'Oro. Wow, you said that.
Yeah, I will say, he as impressive as Justify is, Bolt D'Oro is just that too. I mean, he is just a massive individual and just the picture of a racehorse, you would say. The horses are slowly trickling off the track here. My Miss Lily is one of the few left onto the racetrack. She's actually pulling up right now in the middle of the backstretch. I like her. She has been one, Jude, that I think is just consistently improving, and she's improving with distance, and it's got to be a really amazing feel for Mark Hennig and Rosemary Hennig to have this type of a filly on Oaks Day.
Yeah, she's really a nice one, and she's got the benefit of winning a race going a mile and an eighth, and I think that's a big plus because that's a distance that separates a lot of horses. They can get the mile and the 16th, but the mile and eighth starts testing them, and she's got a victory there, so that takes that question mark out of the equation.
And her physical makeup is interesting in that she isn't, she's almost built like a giraffe in a weird way. She's really got this elongated body. She's got a very elongated neck, kind of a thin neck too. So the way she walks, you can imagine kind of like a similar to a giraffe. And that's not a negative comment whatsoever. I mean, she's perfectly built. She just, you'd have to imagine when horses have longer necks, they have longer strides, they can cover more ground. And that's what I see from her.
Yeah, she really puts them out there when she gallops too. I mean, she stretches right out. So very interesting filly, and Mark's been a friend of mine for many, many years, longer than we would care to talk about probably, but
you don't want to date yourself, right?
Well, everybody knows I'm an old guy, but Mark and I, we've known one another for at least 30 years, and he's actually trained a horse for me. He's a great guy. I love Mark, and he loves his business, and he works really hard. So I'm excited for him that he has a horse on a big day like Oaks Day.
Absolutely. And Cortland Farms, they've all of them have had a lot of success. Now, we do see a horse, Flame Away, actually galloping past here. Again, similar to Wonder Godot, who Mark Cassie will send out in the Kentucky Oaks. They do like to get a little bit aggressive with their gallops in the morning, and so that's pretty typical, and that's what I'm seeing from Flame Away. He put in his final workout on Saturday morning, and I thought it was pretty good. It was in company. It looked like he was getting away from the rider a little bit, but the good thing about Flame Away, as strong and as fast as he does respond to the rider's cues, so you just have to kind of let him know what you want from him, and then he kind of responds appropriately. We are seeing Solomini take the track, for the first time. Jimmy Barnes is aboard the pony. He's holding on to the strap that kind of goes through the ring of the bit, to just give the pony, whoever's on the pony, a little bit more control of the horse that is right beside him. But it looks like he is behaving himself well. He's underneath the typical blue and yellow burn pad underneath the saddle. Now, there's the saddle, just to kind of paint a picture of what are on these horses' backs. They have a yellow saddle towel that says their name, Kentucky Derby, and their name, Solomini. And then above that, as per Bob Baffert's usual goings, a burn pad, which just kind of creates a little bit of leverage off of the horse's back and the saddle. It's kind of a thick, cushiony pad, and it helps not put so much pressure on a horse's back. So that's what I'm seeing on them right now, on Solomini right now. Again, that's typical for Bob Baffert. And they're just kind of moseying around the track. Looks like they're just jogging once around the wrong way. As I look to my right, it's funny, you see horses going in all different directions. So he's going to my left, and to my right, who's approaching shortly, is Hofberg, who, like I said, he was really aggressive this morning. Now, I will admit, this is the first day that I have seen him train up close. I saw him train on Saturday morning, so that was prior to his final work. But he's very impressive, and you have to kind of admire the confidence that Bill Mott has with this horse. I mean, isn't it kind of crazy, Jude, that usually Bill Mott, you know, his moniker is that he takes a very, very patient approach, and they're kind of just throwing this horse into the Florida Derby, and now they're putting him into the Kentucky Derby. So it just seems like they're really handling this horse with a lot of confidence.
Yeah, kind of a meteoric rise to start him. He had the one race at Saratoga and then two races this year. Really fantastic performance in Florida, and then continuing on to this race. And Bill has to have a tremendous amount of confidence in him. And he's a good-looking horse. I mean, he really is. You know, Judmont horses are traditionally beautiful, but he certainly has all the parts.
Now, the track is opened up now officially to the rest of the horses that are stabled here at Churchill and running. My boy Jack is still on the track, though. He is still galloping. It looks like he's about to pull up, though. Now, the only thing I could say about my boy Jack is he wasn't as energized as I guess I've been used to seeing him, and he started to build up a little bit of a lather around the martingale, or yoke, as we call it. A martingale is the leather strap that goes around a horse's neck and connects to the girth. And so sometimes we see a horse that's getting a little bit hot build up a little bit of sweat and lather there on their neck. So it's kind of unusual given the fact that I can see my breath this morning, Jude.
Yeah, it's been a little chilly out here. Not as cold as yesterday. Yesterday started out in the 30s and didn't get tremendously warmer after that. But today it was in the 50s starting out, and everybody seems to be a little bit more comfortable, although it's still not exactly warm. A little chilly still, but are there any Derby or Oaks horses left on the track?
It does not look like it. I just saw a Bob Baffert horse walk by, but definitely not an Oaks or Derby contender. As we said, usually you can distinguish the Derby and Oaks contenders because of the saddle tech Derby, Kentucky Derby. They have a bright yellow saddle towel. You can't miss it. And then obviously the Oaks contenders wearing pink saddle towel. So I'm not spotting anybody else out here. It does look like maybe Solomini will be walking off the track shortly, and my boy Jack. But in terms of training, dude, it looks like they're all done.
All right. Well, this will be an ideal time to take a break. And this is the Derby Countdown presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Ed, get in here and shut the door.
What's up, boss?
What's up? You have to ask, Ed?
Yes, sir. Usually, sir.
Ed, you're naked as a jaybird.
Correctamundo, sir. Just as you ordered.
I what?
You told us Jimmy John's was going all natural, sir.
No, Ed. I told you our meats are now all natural.
Huh?
That's meats, Ed, not employees.
Oh, I get it now. It's our meats that are all natural.
Yes, Ed. Wood smoked ham, choice roast beef, real fresh turkey breast, all natural and freaky fresh.
How embarrassing.
No kidding. It's a good thing I got to you before your first delivery.
Well, I already spread the word, sir, and...
Naked? Oh, no. He's what? Naked?
Naked.
He's naked.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat.
Airdrie Studs Sensational Young Sire Creative Cause is now the number one third crop sire in America, ranking first by earnings, stakes winners, graded stakes winners, and stakes wins, with top class graded stakes winners already including Kentucky Derby candidate My Boy Jack, the brilliant Significant Form, and leading older horses Pavel and Skylar Scramjet. Creative Cause is giving every indication he can be a leading sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Creative Cause. Think about it.
The Twin Spires app is the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby and Breeders' Cup. Place legal wagers and stream live racing wherever you are on any device. So download, play, and win today, because with TwinSpires.com on your smartphone, you can bet on horse racing. Use promo code HRRN to start your $100 sign-up bonus now. Visit Twin Spires to place legal bets and watch racing anywhere. Remember, use promo code HRRN to start your $100 sign-up bonus now. Terms and conditions apply. Please wager responsibly.
Pin Oak Stallion, Alternation. A six-time stakes winner, four graded, including the Grade 2 Peter Pan at 3 and the Grade 2 Oaklawn Handicap at 4. An earner of more than $1 million, Alternation is out of a graded stakes mare, Alternate, a half-sister to Canadian Horse of the Year and top sire, Peaks and Valleys. A top 10 second crop sire with three black-type horses in 2018, including Missive, winner of the Silver Bullet Day Stakes at Fairgrounds. Alternation, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Kentucky Oaks, 144.
Rachel Alexander, Kevin Burrell isn't moving a muscle at her. She's going to destroy this field.
Princess of Silma for a shock at 36-1 in the Kentucky Oaks.
She is unstoppable. She is uncatchable. She is untappable.
The Run for the Lilies is right here, exclusively on HRRN. Friday, May 4th, beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern. On Sirius 219 and XM 201.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And now Hollywood Star is in full stride as they turn for home. Catholic Boy on the outside, he strikes to the lead. Flame Away is battling back gamely down along the inner rail. These two are locked in battle. Flame Away is coming back, trying to pull the upset. Catholic Boy is all out. These two matching strides. Vino Rosso defeated down to the wire. Flame Away. Catholic Boy on the outside. Flame Away and Jose Lascano. Upset winner of the Sam Davis and makes a major step forward.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown Show. This is Jude Feld. I'm alongside Gabby Gaudette, and we're here at Churchill Downs on a beautiful morning. Man, couldn't ask for a better day, huh?
I know, and it's going to get even warmer later today.
Yeah.
Which I'm very excited
about.
It's
going to be 80 tomorrow, so.
The weather has been, you know, I thought to myself that, like, yesterday was going to be the last chilly day of the week. I'm going to, like, keep telling myself that, so then we're going to have beautiful weather. And I think it's going to work.
I think it's going to work. I think you're in good shape, because it's supposed to be, like, in the 70s. You know, the actually up to 79 on Derby Day, they said, so
We might get a little bit of rain on Oaks Day, I believe, but hopefully that pushes back until later.
They were talking more Thurby.
Okay. Yeah, so exactly.
We'll keep our fingers crossed. Anyway, you heard Flame Away in the rejoin, and I know that's a horse that you're close to, a horse that I like. He's a really cool horse. He's very game. Talk about Flame Away a little bit, because your future father-in-law is the mm-hmm. trainer, and I know you know something about him.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. No, he's been a very, very fun horse to kind of see him develop. But what's interesting about him, and I think some of his attributes that are definitely going to help on the first Saturday of May, is that he definitely has a lot of foundation. He has gone two turns plenty of times in his career on multiple different surfaces. He's a winner at a mile and a 16th on the turf. He's a winner, going two turns on the dirt. He's won at multiple different tracks. So he can surely take his form to different venues and different surfaces. And to me, he just tries. And you see that from him in the morning. And I wouldn't say he's definitely not green, because he just, like, the thing about him is that he really, really responds to cues. As I was mentioning with him galloping this morning, he needs to be told what to do. And then when he's told what to do, he does it, which you have seen from him in the afternoon, too. You know, if you ask him to keep trying, even though another horse has passed him in the stretch, he's going to keep trying. So, he's been a very, very fun horse to watch, and incredibly talented. The question is, can he take a little bit of a step forward? Because I think he's going to need to.
Yeah, it's a tough field, but he's so tenacious. Mm-hmm. And he has great tactical speed. And like you said, he's one of the most versatile horses I've ever seen. I think it's so great that he can run on any surface, on any racetrack at any time, and he's going to give you his best effort.
You know, it was funny because I watched the work with Mark on the front side on Saturday, and he was very impressed with his work. Again, he looked like he was getting out of the, not out of control, but he was starting to pick it up a little bit more than Mark probably would have liked. He wanted to kind of keep with his workmate, and then he responded to that. He finished up beautifully. It was a really nice work for him. And then Mark subsequently said, "Man, this Derby's a lot less stressful than last year," which I can agree. I can understand. Obviously, last year, bringing in Classic Empire, who had his own personality. He did not want to train some mornings. He, had a mind of his own. So this year with Mr. Oxley, I would imagine there's and less pressure because, I think Classic Empire had a lot to prove in the Derby and the Preakness last year. But, when a horse is as easy as Flame Away is versus as difficult as Classic Empire is going into the first Saturday of May, it makes things a lot different.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. Yeah, last year, Classic Empire, he was a very good horse, but he did have a mind of his own. And you can just imagine all the pressure thinking about what could happen on Derby Day with the crowd and all the antics he's pulled in the past. And of course, Flame Away, it doesn't seem like anything bothers him. You could just hang out with him at the beach. He's like the coolest horse ever. He didn't care. Whatever you want to do, let's do it. That's got to be a really nice feeling. I mean, nothing beats having a professional horse. I used to love when I was training to have a horse that would stand there and let you put the saddle on him, wasn't jumping around, mm-hmm. acting like an orangutan. I love that. I love horses that know their job and can do it well, and he's certainly one of them.
Well, that was the interesting thing about even Classic Empire last year was that you could lay with him in the stall. You could pet him all day long. You could walk him around the shed row. You could graze him. He wouldn't act up. I mean, he was like a puppy dog. But as soon as he stepped foot on the track, again, he had a mind of his own. So sometimes that happens. You have horses that are difficult in the barn but great on the track. Sometimes they're great in the barn but difficult on the track. Sometimes they're both. They're horrible in the barn and the track. Yeah, exactly. That's when you make changes. So it goes. But it just does seem like all of these horses this year are pretty well behaved, I would say, knock on wood.
Yeah, well, it's a very good group. Would you agree? I mean, this is one of the deepest fields we've had in a while.
I definitely agree with you. I was reading a couple articles on Chad Brown, and he said it himself. He's like, yeah, I think that Good Magic is peaking right now. I think that he is going to run, you know, the best race of his career on Saturday. That said, this is one of the strongest fields I've seen the Derby come up in the past several years, and I'd have to agree with him. And in terms of everybody being on the same level.
Yeah, it's a really deep field, and it's going to be very exciting on Saturday. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network, and we're going to stop 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to the Derby Countdown Show on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby. Well, they drew the fields for the Oaks yesterday in the undercard. What a great card that is Friday.
Wow. I haven't finished it, I will admit that, but I did look pretty in-depth at the Oaks, obviously, and the Ali Sheba. And I was talking to someone about this earlier today, and I asked, when was the last time that we saw a Kentucky Derby winner and an Oaks winner last year come back the following year and race on the undercard? And they said, I don't think it's ever happened. I don't think it has ever happened, and we're lucky enough to have Always Dreaming run back in the Ali Sheba, and then obviously Abel Tasman in as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I didn't realize that's never happened before. Not surprising, because there's a lot of Derby winners that never win another race.
Exactly.
So you see that list.
Go to early retirement.
What the heck happened? Yeah, well, a lot of them, they do go to early retirement, but yeah, that's kind of a bizarre stat, too. I actually think that both of those horses could win.
Yeah.
I mean,
now
I think
that
always,
definitely has never happened.
That wouldn't that be something? We could really see some history on Friday, but Always Dreaming, his last race was arguably the best race he's run since he won the Kentucky Derby. I mean,
for
he
sure.
kind of totally went off form for a while. But his last race was good, and he's looked great in the mornings. I don't know if you've seen him train, mm-hmm. but he really seems like he's happy to be here at Churchill Downs.
And usually we see that, you know, I think it's interesting that Todd is running him here, because usually he takes a little bit of a more patient approach. I would have maybe seen this horse in the Winchester or a race like that. But he's going all in on the Ali Sheba, which has just turned out to be an incredible race in itself. But Todd being quoted as saying that Always Dreaming has had a lot of issues with ulcers and you know, that have affected his performances in the afternoon. And sometimes you get that with horses. A lot of horses are affected by ulcers. Sometimes it's performance compromising. Sometimes it's not. But we saw that to be the case with Always Dreaming. And it looks like they've kept his issues at bay. And it's just really incredible to see him back here.
So, you know, you're a horseman. You come from a great racing family. Talk about what you would do if your horse has ulcers.
Well, you obviously put them on medications to kind of keep them at bay. GastroGuard, I think, is something you could possibly give. But, yeah, you just – unfortunately, a lot of racehorses have them. I don't know why. But, yeah, you just provide them with medication and try to keep them as calm as possible, really.
Yeah, you don't have a couch to lay him down on, and what's wrong with you? Why are you so stressed?
Lay down. But, go to a therapist.
Horse. It's interesting because horses have, they're creatures of habit. Mm-hmm. They like a routine. They like to do the same thing every day. You know, most people would think that's like a boring life, but there's people that you know like that. Anytime you upset their routine, they get upset. Mm-hmm. But most of the time, they like it. But they're in the stall for a long time. You know, and they're animals that are made to run free. So mm-hmm. it can be a little stressful sometimes for horses. And that's why it's nice when you have a place to turn a horse out or let him be outside in a pen. Let
round
him
pens
around.
Help.
Yeah.
Just send him out in the field and let him graze for a little bit. I'm no vet, so I don't know about, you know, the stomach and anything like that. But I definitely know that helps.
Yeah. Well, it's a good, he seems like he's in a great mood right now. He seems like he doesn't have any stress at all. He was on the track yesterday. He was kind of playing. He wanted to run off a little bit, not in a bad way, but just like, you know, I really want to train. I really want to do this. And so I think he's coming up to the race in great shape. And I mean, I just think it would be cool for him to win.
Well, if you remember, wasn't he the horse that just had all those was giving Todd a little bit of a tough time training into the Derby, too. I mean, he was really headstrong. He was running off. They had to make the equipment change to draw reins, which helps a horse kind of take their nose, really, and kind of put it closer to their chest. It just gives a rider more control. The rider has to hold the reins. The reins go through these rings that are on the outside of the bit, and then it attaches actually back to like the saddle girth area. So it's almost like a leverage, if you could imagine. And that's, I remember him having to wear that last year going into the Derby. So it seems like he's grown up a little bit too in the time between in the year.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think you know the time between the Derby and now. I mean, this is going to, if he would win, it'd be the first time that he's won since the Derby. And you know, he's had a few races where he was in what looked like a good spot, and he would finish in the money, but didn't seem to have that same punch. But he looks a lot more to me, at least, like he did last year coming into the Derby without the crazy part of the running off. You know, he's more controlled, and he seemed just really, really happy and delighted to be in Louisville.
For some reason, it seems like the Derby and the Preakness took a toll on a lot of the horses. I mean, it took a toll on Always Dreaming. It took a toll on Cloud Computing. And it took a toll on Classic Empire. So it's good to see Todd kind of take his time with this horse and getting him back to the races, because I do think that it kind of depleted the tank a little bit with all three of those horses.
Yeah, well, I think Todd and the ownership group, I think they're a little bit disappointed that he hasn't run better, and they want to give him every chance to show that he's still got it. You know, otherwise they would have just pulled the plug and sent him to stud.
Yeah.
But you know, I think it's admirable that they're keeping on with the task. So they must have a lot of confidence in him. He looks sensational, as most Pletcher horses do. They very rarely look. I've never seen one look bad, actually.
They all look pretty good, and that just goes to show you the preparation, the horsemanship that Todd has. And you know, I noticed this. I guess it was last year, maybe 2 years ago. I can't remember. But, you know, people sometimes think that these quote-unquote super trainers, you know, it's kind of just like a big system that they have going. But he is an incredible horseman, and I think a horse was sick on the backside, and he was there into the wee hours of the morning. And, you know, so there's a reason why certain trainers have gotten to where they are, because they're very good. And obviously that's the case with Todd Pletcher.
Yeah. You know, the first time I actually stayed at Todd's barn and watched him train the horses, I was blown away.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's almost like you're at the racetrack. The horses are walking around a big ring, and then 15 riders come out of the coffee room, and they go to their mounts, and Todd goes down the line, and he's checking legs on every horse. He's touching them, every horse he touches, and then he gives the instructions, and then they all go out to the track together. Very impressive, really. I mean, you know, it's a tough job when you've only got a barn full of 12, but to have like 150 or something and do that every morning, very impressive. And I just thought, you know, I wish more people could see this, because you do hear those things that people say that don't really know what's going on. Oh, yeah, he's just, you know, he's a paper trainer, blah, 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 blah.
No,
couldn't be further from the truth.
And, very involved.
And I think one of those things that shows that is how good the horses look. I mean, they just, I know they're all nice and expensive and they're supposed to look good, but I mean, they just, they shine when they come to the racetrack.
And even really, if you could take it a step forward and kind of pay attention to the intricacies of some of the decisions that he makes and, you know, changes that he makes. Like we were talking about Always Dreaming, making the bridle equipment change. And even with these horses, I mean, I'm curious why he hasn't made any type of a equipment change with a horse like Magnum Moon, given his tendencies to lug out during the stretch. He's done it in the last two starts, but he still wears the same bridle, D-bit bridle with, you know, a figure eight on his head and rings on. I mean, there's nothing to him. So And Todd, we trust. I just always say that. I don't quite. Same with Bob Baffert. Whatever he's doing, I'm not going to overanalyze because they know far more than any of us combined.
Well, I'm the guy who was a young trainer, and I once said to Charlie Whittingham, why don't you put blinkers on Ferdinand? And he looked right at me and said, because he doesn't need them. Talk about a smackdown. Yeah, that'll put you in your place real quick. And obviously, he went on to win the Kentucky Derby. Charlie knew what he was doing for sure. But, you don't want to ever second-guess anybody in this business. It's tough enough. But great job from the Pletcher Barn on these horses. And they deserve to have four in the Derby because that's what they do. That's their business.
So. I know. And they just think about it. I actually was talking about this the other day. So people were kind of saying that maybe last year Todd had a little bit, like in the late season, maybe had a little bit of a slower year. I even remember reading an article of Todd being quoted saying, yes, we're going through a rebuilding phase. Mm. A rebuilding phase. He won the Derby last year. I think he won the title at Saratoga. And now he's got four Derby horses.
Well, he rebuilt pretty good. I
would say so.
He's a hell of a carpenter, that Todd Pletcher.
And even because we were talking about the Ali Sheba Army Mule, who won the Carter, who beat Awesome Slew last time out. That horse looks incredibly fast.
He's a beast. He really is a very, very nice horse.
He's got some good ones.
Well, you're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRN, your home for the Kentucky Oaks and the Kentucky Derby.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's World's Greatest Gourmet Sandwich Shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
Ed's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
International Super Sire Warfront. Among his 34 stakes horses in 2017 were Grade 1 winners American Patriot, Avenge, Roly Poly, War Flag, and Europe's champion 2-year-old colt, U.S. Navy Flag. Last year, Warfront was the nation's number one sire in multiple categories. In the sales ring, his yearlings continue to bring prices well over $1 million. Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm. Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
And he's going to be an undefeated Arkansas Derby winner. Get ready, Kentucky. There's a Bad Moon on the rise.
Undefeated Magnum Moon seeks to join Orb as Kentucky Derby winners by Malibu Moon. AP Indy's perennial leading sire, Malibu Moon is represented by 14 Grade 1 winners to date, including dual Grade 1 winner and current Spendthrift stallion, Gormley. Malibu Moon, shining brighter at Spendthrift Farm.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy John's on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bravazo to the lead. Free Drop Billy moves up on the outside. Ready Prospector in third. Lionite a wide fourth. As motion, give me a minute. Free Drop Billy runs by for the lead into the final furlong of the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity. Free Drop Billy opening up by three. Bravazo in second. Lionite third. Lone Sailor fourth. Give me a minute fifth. But no catching. Free Drop Billy, who wins it for Robbie Alvarado. Bravazo was home second. Lone Sailor rallied up for third. Close for fourth. Lionite or Give Me a Minute. The time, 1:45.25.
Welcome back to the Kentucky Derby Countdown Show. This is Jude Feld, and I'm here at Churchill Downs with Gabby Gaudette, and we're having a great time this morning. We're supposed to have a guest from Spendthrift Farm. Mr. Hughes was out here earlier this morning. I saw him, but they haven't quite arrived yet. But, Gabby, you were telling me this morning earlier that you read that Free Drop Billy was going to stand at Spendthrift Farm when he's finished racing, and that was a bit of news, a bit of breaking news.
Yeah, I honestly just kind of looked at the tweet and didn't read into it much more, but I do think that that might have been the first time that I at least ever heard of that. I'm looking at Twitter right now, Spendthrift Farm announcing, "We are thrilled to announce Free Drop Billy will join the Spendthrift Stallion roster upon his retirement." So pretty cool.
Yeah, he was the winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland last year on October the 7th, and a horse of much talent, and he's been on the Derby trail for a while. Dale's had some ins and outs with them, trying to get him on the right track, and hopefully he can put it all together on Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see. Like, again, he has always been an attractive-looking horse. He's not really big in size, but he always looks like a very healthy, athletic, agile horse. Always dappled, always, you know, looking great. And obviously, in terms of a stallion prospect, he was precocious. He is a Grade 1 winner. He's by Union Rags out of a Giant's Causeway mare. So it makes sense. You know, you got to get them pretty much graded stakes, black type of victories. And it's good to see that he obviously did have that Grade 1 win.
Yeah, and he's really a well-put-together horse. You know, the team that buys for the Albaugh Family Stables is very talented. And they comb the sales looking for nice individuals and possible Derby horses. So he's gone through their screening. Mm-hmm. Past that, they bought him. They didn't have to pay a lot of money for him, only $200,000, but maybe the Union Rags thing played into that a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Union Rags has been a very solid sire, and there's lots of things to like about him as far as a sire is concerned. So it'll be interesting to see how his book fills and what kind of mares he gets.
And it's interesting to see Spendthrift and kind of all of their connections with several really Derby horses. I mean, obviously now Free Drop Billy, they're purchasing him after, or he's going to stud with them after retirement. But we've got Bolt Doro for obvious reasons. They'll be running in the Spendthrift Silks. And also you have to think about their stallions and Malibu Moon and Into Mischief, and they've got Audible and Magnum Moon. So Beholder related to Mendelssohn.
Right.
So you could really go like several different avenues here.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about Mendelssohn for a minute. You know, it was just by a stroke of luck, very serendipitous, that I got to speak to one of the attending veterinarians for Aidan O'Brien, and Mendelssohn came in last night. So, mm-hmm. You know, inquiring minds want to know, how do you look? I felt kind of weird saying that. It's really none of my business, but I go, how do you look? And the veterinarian said he looked fantastic. As a matter of fact, all of Aiden's horses looked good, and so, you know, I have high hopes for him. I think he's such an interesting horse. I mean, the fact that they ponied up $3 million for him is you know, that's very impressive in itself. And then the fact that he won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, and then he went back home and won on the Pauley track, and then he went to Dubai. He's kind of like Flame Away in that he doesn't care who he runs against,
Yeah. Where
he runs, what he's running on. He just goes out there and does his job, and the UAE Derby was awesome.
It was one of the most incredible races. I mean, you can obviously go and analyze it and you know, a lot of people saying that it was a very biased track that day. But when a horse wins by, what, 18?
Yeah.
18 and a half lengths, you clearly know of his, you realize his talent. Especially, it's no fluke. He's a half to Beholder. He's a half to Into Mischief. He's, you know, got the pedigree. He's got all the stars with Ryan Moore and Aiden O'Brien. So he's kind of, I think, as a betting prospect, though, he might be an all or nothing. Either you love him and you think that he's the real deal, or you toss him, I think. Kind of following up on that yesterday, he did have some, I wouldn't say issues, but a little reroute type of thing getting here. He was supposed to land in Kentucky at, 6 p.m.? And then they had to redirect the flight, I think, to Indiana?
Indianapolis, yeah.
Indianapolis, that's it.
That's in Indiana.
Yeah. You know, it's been a long time since I've done my state capitals, but thank you, Drew. Thank you. But then finally got in around 10 o'clock last night. So, again, it shouldn't be an issue. This horse has spent so many hours on flights and vans, as you alluded to. So I'm interested to see how he looks on track. I'm really excited about that. He gets out of quarantine on Thursday.
Right. Thursday morning, which is the last morning of our countdown shows. Not to rush ahead to anything, but we'll be able to at least give all of our listeners a chance to hear what you think about him on the racetrack when he comes out. And, I understand he was very calm and relaxed coming off the van and at the barn, and as they were, you know, taking care of him, going through the USDA protocol that they have to do with all the foreign imported horses, that he was just hanging out, not turning a hair, business as usual for him. Probably had a little bit of jet lag or something, but he was fine. He was good. So that was encouraging to me. And now he'll spend 2 days in quarantine where they have to stay in the barn, and all they can do is walk. They might be able to tack walk with a rider on their back, and then he'll come out to the track. So he does give up a little bit coming here, misses a couple days of training. As you and I know, that doesn't necessarily mean the end of the world. Sometimes it's a good thing, freshen the horse up a little bit. But
we see it all the time at Breeders' Cup. Not so much this weekend. I mean, sometimes with, obviously, it's definitely happened plenty of times before in the past, but you know, we see it with a lot of European contenders for Breeders' Cup. And the thing, it's interesting that you said that he's kind of calm, cool, and collected, because maybe that is a reason why Aiden has had the confidence in taking him to all the places that he has taken him, because of his demeanor.
Right. Well, what about the heat? If it's as hot as they say, do you think that'll give him a little bit of a tussle? Although it's
for sure
a little bit nicer probably in Great Britain than it's been here in Kentucky.
Yeah. Well, they always say you want to go, hold on, I might get this wrong. You want to go hot to cold, rather cold to hot.
Right.
So that could be the case with him. But he's got a couple of days to acclimate. So I don't know if it's going to be that big of an issue, but it could get really hot on Saturday. So you just never know what's going to bother a horse. If it's heat, if it's the crowd, if it's nothing, you never know.
Yeah. It's kind of interesting to look at those things. I have a friend who's the world's foremost authority of jet lag in horses. And she taught me a lot about shipping horses worldwide. And Sheikh Mohammed wanted her to go to work for him at one point because he has a far-flung operation.
Yeah. You know?
So, I learned a lot sitting at dinners with her and her girlfriends that went to the University of Kentucky and studied all this
stuff.
That's
incredible.
It's interesting, and there's advantages, you know, to changing feed and little subtle things that you can do to make a horse feel more comfortable, but I'm sure Aiden has that down to a science.
For sure. They've got plenty of experience with that. I mean, I know myself, dude, when I went to Hong Kong, it took me about a week to acclimate, and then once I finally did, it was time to go back home. So I give a lot of credit to these thoroughbreds that can do it and try to perform at their best.
Yeah, it's I don't know. If I go to California for 3 days, my whole system is screwed
up. Oh, yeah. Me too. I'm not a good shipper.
I don't mind the shipping, but when I come home, I can't. I'm on the old time clock, and my clock genes are very sensitive.
That's funny. No, but it's true. It's true. But obviously, it's everything here, though, is in good order. The best thing, and the greatest thing about being here Derby week is just, we were just standing here and, you know, Chad Brown just casually walks by, waves, and on his way to go get a cup of coffee or something.
Yeah, we need to snag him when he comes back.
Yeah, so. We do. But those are the types of things. And there's, you know, the rail is just, I don't know, 10 people deep. There's people everywhere watching the training. I mean, it's just such an incredible experience out here in the morning.
Yeah, it's really nice to see, like, people bringing their kids and enjoying the day, and especially in this type of weather where people can really enjoy themselves and don't have to worry about, you know, getting soaked. Or we've had the last couple derbies have been a little wet, and this is a welcome change, actually.
And we've got a pretty amazing view, too. We're staring at the Twin Spires right now in the backstretch. You can't get much better than that, and even when you see the horses train, it's a great perspective, too, seeing them come around the turn, kind of switch leads onto the back stretch, and it's a great vantage point, that's for sure.
Yeah, Dale Roman's just sending out a pack of four. He's got a bunch of horses here on the grounds, and, you know, it would be cool for Dale to win the Kentucky Derby. He's a Louisville native, and it's a race he's been coveting for a long, long time. He's taken a few shots at it, and this year his horses are not among the favorites, but, you know, he's a guy that really wants to win the Derby.
I think it was back in January, I was talking to him down at Gulfstream, and he said, my plan is to fill up the gate of the Kentucky Derby with as many horses, because I figure that really heightens my chances of winning. And, well, a couple of them haven't quite panned out, but promises fulfilled, and Free Drop Billy have made their way to the stage, and it's got to be a very exciting prospect, even with Coach Rocks and the Oaks. You know, Dale actually has a pretty good couple of horses going into the weekend.
Yeah, Coach Rocks ran a fantastic race last time out, and she's been training sensationally in the morning. I don't know if you saw her today, but I thought she's been going pretty good.
And I've always wondered this too, because she has completely turned it around. I mean, this is a filly who could not break her maiden for several starts, and then she finally did it, and did it by about 8 lengths down at Gulfstream, and then she came back and won the Gulfstream Park Oaks. Sometimes we see that horses, just the light bulb clicks and they can continue it on, and it's interesting to see that. And even Luis Saez has done it aboard her in the last 2 starts. We'll see on Saturday, Friday.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Well, this is the Derby Countdown presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And when we come back, we're going to have our guest from Spendthrift Farm.
Jimmy Johns, world's greatest gourmet sandwich, is that speaking?
Yes, I need a sandwich delivery right away.
What kind of sandwich?
I don't care, just get it to 215 Elm Street right now.
I'm on my way!
Jimmy Johns.
Thanks for getting here so fast.
You're welcome, sir. Here's your sandwich. By the way, did you know your house is on fire?
That's why I called Jimmy Johns.
Fire makes you hungry?
No, I knew you'd get here fast. Grab a bucket.
We're going to need more than 2 guys, sir.
You're right. What'll we do?
Leave it to me, sir.
Hello?
Hello, boss? Send everyone you got to 215 Elm.
Okay.
Doesn't matter what kind of sandwich, sir. I'll explain later.
Right.
Thank you, sir.
Jimmy Johns. Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy Johns.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your house is on fire?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy Johns.
Come in.
Sir, did you know?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Jimmy Johns.
Come in.
Sir, did you?
Yes, I did. Grab a bucket.
Fire department.
Come in.
Sir, did you know your...
It's okay, Captain. We got it handled. Care for a sandwich?
Thanks, but tell me something.
Shoot.
Why didn't you call the fire department first?
I did.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Owner View's Thoroughbred Owner Conference is bringing thoroughbred ownership into view. Plan on attending this innovative and entertaining conference focused on thoroughbred ownership. You'll enjoy panel discussions from industry experts, wonderful social events, and engaging networking opportunities throughout the week of the 2018 Breeders' Cup Championships at historic Churchill Downs. Visit ownerview.com and register now. That's ownerview.com.
Exaggerator, Curlin's all-time leading son, is still the last 3-year-old colt to win 3 grade ones in a single season, with extreme wins in the Santa Anita Derby, Preakness, and Haskell.
Exaggerator, an absolutely brilliant victory in the Santa Anita Derby.
A tremendous performance.
performance from Exaggerator.
But Exaggerator has turned the tables. He has won the Preakness Stakes.
His extreme foals are arriving now.
The road to the Triple Crown is heating up with the weather, and there are talented horses in every division running on racing's biggest days. Pope Jude reports highlight top-class racing from coast to coast and put you onto horses rounding to excellent form long before the general public becomes aware of them. Our on-track presence at major racing venues gives us an edge that others don't have, and we share what we know with you. You can win money at the racetrack. Visit PopeJude.com. That's PopeJude.com.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
On the swing for home, Bolt Door Out charges into the lead from length and a half, Solomini. Zatta on the inside running fourth. He's now drifting four lengths off the pace at the quarter pole. Encumbered faring best of the rest. On the swing for home, Bolt Door Out charges into the lead from take the 101. They're followed by Solomini, well clear of Zatta and Encumbered. Next is Ayakara, but Bolt Door Out is forging clear. This is a high caliber colt. We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Door Out treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner. Scores by seven lengths over Solomini. Take the 101 third. Ayakara finished fourth.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown Show. This is Jude Feld, and I'm with Gabby Gaudette here under the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs. And joining us now from Spendthrift Farm, Ned Toffee. And Ned, man, it wasn't soon after that race when you got the walloping done that you guys stepped up to the plate to get yourself involved with Bolt Thoro. Talk about that a little bit.
We had on our radar after his first grade one, and you know, we knew he'd be a popular horse. He's, you know, arguably as good a stallion prospect as there is from this crop, so we knew we'd better act fast and get mobilized, and we were fortunate enough to land him.
Well, you guys were here early this morning, and when you walked by, we said hello, but Gabby was out on the rail, and when he came out of the track, she had the quote of the morning. She goes, "Oh, there's Bolt Thoro. Wow."
he really is a wow horse. One of the things that's amazing about him is, as big as he is, that he was such a precocious horse and such an athletic horse as a two-year-old. You'd look at him and think, well, he might be a good four-year-old. And so to do what he was doing it too was just really, really remarkable.
Well, is he going to get a chance at four, or was it too early to tell? Am I putting the pressure on you here?
you are putting the pressure on me. Look, we'll hope that he does everything he needs to do this year. He's already a great stallion prospect.
Right.
He really doesn't need to do much. I think there's a very good chance at the end of the year he'll be at Spendthrift and breeding mares next year. But we'll always leave those decisions till the appropriate time.
Well, you never know about Mr. Hughes. He likes his racing, so
he does.
It's really cool that Mick Ruiz decided to give him a present and let the horse run in Spendthrift Farm colors for the Derby.
Yeah, it really is a remarkable gesture. I mean, here's a guy who bought Bolt D'Oro himself, owns him, racing him, training him, and first horse in his career in the Derby, and yet he's offered to let the horse run in Mr. Hughes's colors, and that's just a remarkable gesture. And getting to know Mick, he really is a remarkable guy, and just an absolute class act. It's been an absolute pleasure to do business with him.
Yeah, he really is a unique individual, and I've enjoyed. We had him on Trainer Talk, and really enjoyed that visit. And the more I read, the more I see what he does, the more I like him. He's just a super, super guy. And when I saw what he did for Mr. Hughes, you know, I tweeted out, "What do you get the man who has everything?" And that there really is no better present than that, I think.
No, absolutely. And again, just a classy gesture, and from a guy that we've just had it's just been a real pleasure to get to know him and work with him.
And the horse is coming up to the Derby in great shape. Would you agree?
Absolutely. Mick's done a wonderful job with him. You know, he got a little time off after the Breeders' Cup, you know, eased him back into training and has just brought him along beautifully. And I think each workout, each race has been better than the last one. And knock on wood, I think he's sitting on a big race. But he's certainly brought him here in great shape. We were over at the barn this morning. He's a really happy horse. This horse has an incredible mind on him. He just takes everything in, laid back. You can just see the intelligence. You see him taking everything in. His first morning here, and he hasn't turned a hair. So that's a huge factor, I think, on Derby Day. That paddock has undone a lot of horses, and so that intelligence, that great demeanor, that's going to play a big role on Saturday.
Yeah, he's a very professional horse, and you can kind of see it in his eyes when he's walking around. He has a tremendous presence about him, and that's why Gabby was so sold this morning.
I was. So, Ned, talk a little bit about his last two races, too, and kind of what has everybody been thinking about it. I mean, the San Felipe was obviously a very interesting race, and then following that up in the Santa Anita Derby.
Yeah, I think the San Vicente, you know, for the first race off a layoff to have a sort of a knockdown drag out race like that, you know, you're a little bit worried that would take a little something out of him. And so for him to bounce back as strong as he did and run a very good race in the Santa Anita against obviously a really, really good horse. So I think those two races set us up really well. Here we are, third off the layoff now, and I think he's coming in here in great shape. And he seems to have blossomed throughout all of that.
And we're talking about positive attributes for the first Saturday of May. Of course, his demeanor is going to help with such a huge crowd and so much excitement, so much noise going on, too. But also that he's been arguably a little bit battle-tested, too. You know, he's shown that he can get knocked around a little bit in the afternoon and still keep on going.
Yeah, really. And going farther back to have that great foundation that he's got as a two-year-old, something that probably gives him a little bit of a leg up on some of the other horses in here. So, and again, through this adversity, seems to have just moved forward and blossomed.
He doesn't seem like the kind of horse you'd want to pick a fight with.
No.
He's a pretty big dude, right?
I mean, I think he's the you know, speak softly and carry a big stick.
Yeah. Ned and I can tell you about that. You know, if we go into a bar or something, nobody's going to mess with us, but we might be the nicest guys in the bar and probably are. But he's pretty tough, pretty cool. A very interesting individual. Gabby also broke some news today that you've got a new stallion on the horizon.
We do. We have Free Drop Billy. So we were fortunate enough to land the breeding rights in him as well. So we've got a couple of rooting interests. He's a son of Union Rags, very accomplished 2-year-old grade one winner. He's a horse who's had danced every dance this spring and been in the money each time. He's a horse who I really think is going to be running at the end here on Saturday, and we're really excited about him. But a beautiful animal, and can't wait to show him off to breeders as well.
Yeah, well, we talked about the crew that buys horses for the Albaugh Family Trust, Stevie Castagnole and some of his pals, and they go through a very rigorous selection process. So that's a good screening to have when you're looking at stallions, because you know these guys are doing their homework.
Absolutely. Steve, Barry Berkelhammer, they do a great job. I'm not sure if they bought a yearling last year that we haven't had under consideration at some point to come to Spendthrift eventually. So they have really done a remarkable job with an incredibly high strike rate. You know, this is a tough game, and there's a lot of failure in it. For those guys to have landed as many good athletes from a very small crop is really remarkable. They're to be commended.
And you guys also have another iron in the fire with Mendelsohn. What's the buzz around Spendthrift Farm about Mendelsohn?
Well, he's really a remarkable horse, and of course a horse that we were the underbidder on.
Yeah, I read this morning in Indian Charlie. Yeah, I don't know if to believe it or not.
Well, it was. There's some truth to the rumor. But he was a $3 million yearling, and Mr. Hughes bid 2.9, and we decided that was about enough. But at this point, it looks like a bargain. But of course, we have his two very accomplished half-siblings in Into Mischief, who is represented in here by Audible and is one of the hottest sires in America. And, of course, Beholder, who all the fans out there will well remember. So, and she's doing great back home at Spendthrift, has a very nice Uncle Mo foal by her side. And back in Fold of Curling, carrying a filly, and she's taken to broodmare life very well. So, but that's, you know, it's a good rooting interest for us, but we'd rather had the purple and orange on him today.
But how is it, how exciting is it, though, to be involved in so many Derby contenders, really? I mean, because now you have interest in Free Drop Billy, obviously Mendelssohn, Bolt Doro, Audible. Magnum Moon.
Magnum Moon. Can't leave out Magnum Moon. It would be great to see the grand old man of Spendthrift, Malibu Moon, get his second Derby winner, of course, or being the first, but Magnum Moon's a big, beautiful horse. Just gotten my first opportunity to see him here this week, and he's just a grand individual. So, no, it's really exciting. We've got a lot of rooting interests, and it's a lot of fun. So we're going to enjoy this Derby, we hope.
I will say, I think Into Mischief might be one of my favorite sires. I don't know why. I just think that...
Because he wins.
Well, I do know why. I should say that. But, and it's just good to see that... you guys are having so many different avenues on the first Saturday.
Well, he's definitely one of our favorite sires, too. Sure. But he really is a remarkable horse. Ironically, he and Beholder were both bought for the same dollar figure, both $180,000 auction horses, and they've both paid us back in spades there. So,
yeah, you have a very good crew that goes around and looks at horses, too, when you buy them, and you're very discerning. What goes into not buying Mendelssohn? I think it's always interesting to me. Like, how do you know where to stop? I mean, I knew where to stop when I was buying horses because I didn't have a budget like you guys have. But I mean, you bid millions of dollars on a horse. What is it? Just something that you? Is it mental? Is it numbers? Is it, I don't want to listen to the controller on Tuesday? What is it?
I in part, it may be the very long list of very expensive auction horses who have never amounted to anything.
Right.
is one of the things that will always give you pause. This was a horse that when we were walking up to bid, we had obviously talked about specific values on him. But when a horse is that nice, and you're going to be talking about over $1 million for him, you knew he was going to be over $1 million. You just weren't quite sure how much. And on a horse like that, I told Mr. Hughes, like I said, you're just going to have to decide how comfortable you are to what level, because it's hard to appraise them once they get past a certain point. And at that point, it's just how determined are the particular bidders that are going to be in there. Those horses really are almost more like a work of art, almost more like a collector's item. And
it could have gone well past.
Could easily.
Yeah.
Could easily. And, certainly in hindsight, we'd love to have him. But, his first start, he finished, what, 8th or 10th? I'm sure that had to make a few people nervous.
His form wasn't all that shiny early on.
No.
As a matter of fact, the race he won before the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, he went off at 50-1.
Yeah. So it's a remarkable game of ups and downs, and you can imagine they had to be a little bit of nervous after that first start, but he's obviously gotten himself squared away, and he's a remarkable animal. But and he's, you know, obviously, I think for us too, we had so much. It's not often that you have so much firsthand experience at such a high level on any given auction yearling as we had with him, and then he was just an absolute, just a gorgeous, gorgeous animal.
Yeah.
And those are the things that took us up to a point. But you know, there's a lot of horses that don't work out at that level, and You know, but they're going to be just fine with him now.
Yeah, that's a great explanation. And I know it was like missing the third property in a Monopoly game. You know, you hate to miss out on that, but you have the whole family, so to speak. So, you know, if as he's doing good, it's just helping the value of your other horses.
Yeah.
So.
Fred Mitchell, who over at Clarkland Farm, who bred, he actually, I think he acquired the mare after Into Mischief was born, but he's the breeder of record on Mendelssohn and on Beholder, and he's a great, great old horseman, wonderful farmer based on Bryan Station Road, just down the road from us at Spendthrift, and that's really a remarkable mare. Not very many mares out there that have ever produced three Grade One winners. There's plenty of good stallions that haven't thrown Grade One winners, so she's really a once in a lifetime mare.
Well, you're talking about phenomenal mares and what they can produce. We were talking about it before we went on air about Myrtlewood, who obviously was well accomplished as a racing mare. But talk a little bit about the female side of her family. I just read a DRF article that traces Bolt Doro's lineage way, 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 way back to Myrtlewood. Yep. But she more so produced phenomenal fillies and mares on the female side.
Mm-hmm. And is an ancestress of the likes of Seattle Slough. Mm-hmm. So was and for a lot of fans out there that remember the Seabiscuit movie, she was a contemporary of Seabiscuit and actually beat him sprinting.
In a 3-year-old season,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So she was really a remarkable mare. We've got an old brochure at Spendthrift from the mid 60s where Myrtlewood is featured very heavily, and that sort of weighed on our mind as we were trying to decide what to do with Beholder, and we're hoping that Beholder is our generation's Myrtlewood, and she could go on and produce. And again, I love the fact that she's carrying a filly now, because we hope that we can sort of start that same kind of process that went on with Myrtlewood.
What do you see in Beholder as a mom? I mean, obviously we all saw what she could do and what she was capable of on the track, but how has that transition been for her?
It's been smooth as silk, like everything else about her. She was very professional. She's been very straightforward, reproductively very easy to get in foal. Mm-hmm. Carried a beautiful foal to term and delivered a very nice foal, and those mothering instincts are very strong in her, and so right away was very attentive to the foal and has done everything right, and fortunately got right back in foal for us, and so she's really done everything right. But she's been a great mom so far. She's kind of a tough customer out there in the field. She sort of rules the roost, but doing great. Yeah, she knows who she is.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, Ned, you've been a great guest. I know you were a little reluctant to come on, but you've done a magnificent job.
Yes.
And we really appreciate you stopping by. I think your crew left without you, so if you're looking for them, they're headed that away.
I may be walking back to Lexington.
we'll get you a ride.
Start now. You'll make it there next week.
Well, thank you for having me. You guys do a wonderful job, and happy to be here.
Oh, thank you
thank
so much.
You.
Well, this is Jude Feld, and you're listening to the Derby Countdown Show. We're going to go to a break. Remember to go get a sandwich at your local Lexington Jimmy John's.
Jimmy John's, freaky fast, freaky fresh.
I'm calling because I saw one of your delivery persons today, and he was totally naked.
Ma'am, I sincerely want to apologize for any...
Buck naked right there on the street.
Ma'am, we're doing all we can to...
And I say it's about darn time.
I know, and I'm gonna... Wait, what?
The human body is a beautiful thing, don't you agree?
Well,
We've suffered the tyranny of clothing for way too long.
Okay, but...
So thanks, Jimmy John's, for going all natural.
Actually, ma'am, it's our meats that are all natural.
Say what now?
Our meats are all natural. Wood smoked ham, choice roast beef, real fresh turkey breast, all natural and freaky fresh.
So I don't suppose I can expect all natural delivery in the future?
No.
Darn.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet.
Airdrie Stud's sensational young sire, Creative Cause, is now the number one third crop sire in America, ranking first by earnings, stakes winners, graded stakes winners, and stakes wins, with top class graded stakes winners already including Kentucky Derby candidate My Boy Jack, the brilliant Significant Form, and leading older horses Pavel and Skylar Scramjet. Creative Cause is giving every indication he can be a leading sire for years to come. Airdrie Stud's Creative Cause. Think about it.
The Twin Spires app is the official betting partner of the Kentucky Derby and Breeders' Cup. Place legal wagers and stream live racing wherever you are on any device. So download, play, and win today, because with TwinSpires.com on your smartphone, you can bet on horse racing. Use promo code HRRN to start your $100 sign-up bonus now. Visit Twin Spires to place legal bets and watch racing anywhere. Remember, use promo code HRRN to start your $100 sign-up bonus now. Terms and conditions apply. Please wager responsibly.
Pin Oak Stallion Broken Vow hails from one of Pin Oak's most important families with four successful sires, including young leading second crop sire Alternation. Broken Vow's three graded stakes horses in 2018 include Grade 2 Fairgrounds Oaks winner Chocolate Martini and Grade 1 placed Mended. Among Broken Vow's 79 lifetime stakes winners are Grade 1 victors Unbridled Belle, champion two-year-old filly Champagne Room, Best Performance, Sassy Image, and Rosalind. Broken Vow, standing at Pin Oak Stud.
Don't miss HRRN's exclusive coverage of Derby Day undercard racing this Saturday. Beginning at 2 p.m. Eastern, we'll bring you live coverage of the Turf Classic, Humana Distaff, Churchill Distaff, Turf Mile, Churchill Down Stakes, and the American Turf, Kentucky Derby Day, only on HRRN. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington-area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The inside is My Boy Jack. My Boy Jack is coming with a long run. Lone Sailor looks to battle My Boy Jack. In the final furlong, Noble Indy toward the inside. Give me a minute, then Snapper Sinclair. It's Lone Sailor, Noble Indy, My Boy Jack toward the rail. Noble Indy and Lone Sailor, Noble Indy to win the Louisiana Derby from Lone Sailor in a photo finish. My Boy Jack boomed at the quarter pole, was third. Give me a minute, Snapper Sinclair. We trail back to Hindford with retirement fund. Not today for Bravazo, Dark Templar, and Marlo, who led in the early stages. Mormello was last home.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown Show. This is Jude Feld, and I'm with Gabby Gaudette here at Churchill Downs. And, wow, that was fun with Ned, huh?
Mm-hmm.
He's a really smart guy. He knows his way around the thoroughbred business. And I don't know why he's always reluctant to come on. He's one of the best guests
phenomenal.
We have. Yeah, he knows his horse racing.
Wealth of knowledge, that's for sure. But it's always interesting. I find it always interesting to understand what the process is like in acquiring stallions, especially for someone like Spendthrift, who could probably choose anybody that they want to, considering their roster.
And they have so many.
Exactly.
Already.
They've got a lot. I was looking at their website a couple days ago, and the list goes on and on. I think Tom's Ready is a new sire that they have, too, who... I think he won the Woody Stevens, right? Something like that.
I believe so, yeah.
I always find that to be very, very interesting. And it's also interesting to hear how well Beholder has adopted being a mom, because sometimes we do see those really card-trying fillies and mares on the racetrack. Sometimes it's hard to get them into kind of a maternal setting.
Right.
But she's capable of anything.
Yeah, and they haven't been great producers, a lot of the great mares. So it's always a crapshoot, you know. But Mr. Hughes, he certainly fell in love with that mare, and rightly so. I mean, she was just phenomenal her whole career and really gave him a lot of thrills. So I'm glad to see she's home and she's doing good, and they're breeding her to the right stallions, and we have a lot to look forward to there.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And just talking about, you know, how Spendthrift is involved in so many different facets with their stallions, with their prospects. I mean, it's just going to be a tremendous weekend for them.
Yeah.
And what about Mick Ruiz opting to run Bolt Doro and the Spendthrift Silks? That's a phenomenal Christmas present. And the forethought of that, saying that if we run in the Derby.
Right. Right. How much confidence does he have? There's a guy that doesn't lack confidence.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know much about his story.
No, I haven't.
I mean, the guy started a business from basically nothing, built it up to $2.5 million, sold it, got in the horse business, found out $2.5 million was nothing in the horse business.
Yeah.
And lost it all, was $1 million in debt, said, I'm going to come back to the horse business when I build my business up again, but I'm going to get more money the next time.
Wow.
He was minus $1 million. He went to work 10 years, built his company up from 5 people to 600 employees, sold 80% of it for $78 million, and said, I'm going back to the horse business. I got enough now. And, I mean, it's a tremendous story. We did a trainer talk with him, and if any of our listeners want to go back, it's on our website, horseracingradio.net, and listen to that trainer talk and learn more about him and his life. It's an incredible story.
Wow.
And
to just show you how passionate he is about this sport, to just take some time, pause, go through this rebuilding phase, and then come back, think in the back of his head that I'm going to come back eventually, and then actually have that plan come to fruition of his own determination.
Yeah, no, the guy's, he's an amazing human being. And then to hear, you know, him talk about his horses and his philosophy and the fact that he doesn't need the money that the horses generate in order to keep his stable going. And he's always empathetic with the other trainers, because he said he knows how hard it is when you're not winning and you don't have any cash coming in, how hard it is to keep your business afloat. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he's an average guy who's done something spectacular. And yeah. I told him he has the best job in racing because he can't get fired.
Exactly.
Right? No, his owner's not going to fire him.
Yeah, that would be a unique situation.
That's right.
But I believe he ran a horse at Keeneland the other day, but his assistant was training it, and he put the horse's name in the assistant's, down as trainer in the assistant's name.
Right.
How giving is he to do something like that? We never see anything like that.
Yeah, no, he's a very unique individual. And, you know, that was part of his plan. He said earlier that he was going to send horses to Keeneland. He wanted to have a kind of a Kentucky string or a East Coast. So I have a hard time calling Kentucky the East Coast, but an East Coast division. And that his man was going to train the horses. So instead of having him in his name, he doesn't care about racking up wins or, you know, just a very unique person.
Well, I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting him this weekend, because I've never, ever met him, but he sounds like an incredible person.
Yeah, he's a really cool guy. You would enjoy sitting down with him. I encourage people to go listen to that trainer talk show.
I'm going to do it.
It's amazing. Well, that's good.
Today.
You did coaching well. So we had the Noble Indy rejoin. Do you have any thoughts on Noble Indy?
I do. I have liked him all along. I wonder if he's good enough, I guess, is the question. In the Louisiana Derby, I don't think many people gave him credit for such a race that he put in. I mean, he was involved in pretty hot pace. He had to kind of make multiple moves in that race, and then he still came back and held off closers who should have won, considering how the pace collapsed in there, and he was part of it, and he just kept on going. That said, I do think that there are other Derby prep races that might be a little bit more productive.
Well, he's an interesting horse, and to me, he's a little short coupled. I'm not so sure he wants to go a mile and a quarter, but remains to be seen. He certainly looked good in the mornings. We're going to take a quick break here. This is the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And we'll be back after these words.
Boss, there's a photographer out here who wants to do a piece on Jimmy John's for her magazine.
What kind of piece?
Well, she heard about a clothing optional delivery policy and...
Did you tell her the naked driver incident was a momentary misunderstanding?
Yes, sir, but...
Did you tell her it's our meats that are going all natural, not our drivers?
Yes, sir, that's not...
Did you tell her Jimmy John's is committed to serving sandwiches with only the finest all-natural ham, roast beef, salami, bacon, and real fresh turkey breast?
Yes, sir, I did, sir.
So she wants to photograph our sandwiches?
No, sir. Actually, she wants to do a calendar.
A what?
A calendar. You know, the men of Jimmy John's.
Dibs on January.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meat.
An undefeated graded stakes winner on the track, Al
Algorithms was the nation's number one sire of two-year-olds in 2017 by percentage of winners. His top runners include multiple graded stakes performer Rich Mommy, winner of the Grade 3 Sugar Swirl, multiple stakes winner and graded stakes performer Recruiting Ready, and stakes winners He Hate Me and Sunset Ridge. In the ring, his yearlings have commanded prizes up to $220,000. Algorithms, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Spendthrift Farm is home to future stallions Bolt Doro, a dual Grade 1 winning juvenile by leading sire Medaglia Doro.
We're witnessing the emergence of a star as Bolt Doro treats his rivals to a comprehensive walloping in the front runner.
And Free Drop Billy, impressive winner of the Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity at Keeneland at 2 and the best son of Union Rags.
But no catching Free Drop Billy, who wins it for Robbie Alvarado.
Spendthrift Farm, the Breeders' Farm.
Hi, I'm John Velasquez.
And I'm Julian Lepau. Every jockey knows and accepts the risk of a sport every time they get a leg up on the horse.
Although catastrophic on-track accidents are rare, when they do happen, the lives of the jockeys and their family change forever.
It's up to all of us in racing to support these men and women.
That's why we support the Permanent Disabled Jockey Fund. Since its founding in 2006, the PDJF has disbursed over $8 million to over 75 permanently disabled jockeys.
Over 90 cents out of every dollar donated goes directly to these brave men and women.
They use their monthly stipend to pay bills, hire caretakers, and many other things that make living with a permanent disability just a bit easier.
This is Mike Penna of HRRN. Did you know that the PDJF has no permanent guaranteed funding mechanism and relies entirely on donations from people like you? Please visit the PDJF website at pdjf.org to learn how you can help.
Hi, I'm Ron Turcott. I support the PDJF. I hope you will too, and I thank you.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington-area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Look at him cantering around the turn. Ryan Moore couldn't be holding him any slower. Gold Town's off the bridle. Rye is in second place. But it is all Mendelssohn who's absolutely roaring away. He is 8 lengths in front of Rye. Gold Town, New Line Warrior, Tiger Verver. But it's a game of name the margin. This Mendelssohn is going to absolutely demolish them. And this thing's going to go to Kentucky and win by nearly 50 metres, I reckon. Mendelssohn at the line will win by, goodness me, it's got to be nearly 50 metres. Mendelssohn by nearly 20 lengths has won the Derby and has absolutely bolted in.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown Show, and we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. He's going to win by 50 meters.
I love
meters.
That race call.
That was
pretty
impressive, huh?
Wow. And, well, it was. Yes, it was. What was it? 18 and a half lengths?
18, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Margin. Well, we'll see if he can take that to here. That's under the Twin Spires.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Bring that here.
That would be cool.
Can you imagine?
All the
wow.
All the Dubai naysayers. I know we all have connections to horses. I don't know about you, but I'm the kind of guy, I wish everybody could win the Derby.
Mm-hmm.
I wish it was a 20 horse dead heat. I mean, it's just, it would be nice. But
all of the effort it takes, you just have to think about all of the time, energy, money from a lot of different people, whether it be, hot walkers, grooms, trainers, jockeys, owners, it runs the gamut. All of the effort and energy it takes to get to a horse to the races, let alone get them into the starting gate in the Kentucky Derby. Wow. Like, you wish, I'm with you. You wish that they could all win because yeah. You know that it takes a lot to get here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's great to win any race, but I mean, America's greatest race and arguably the greatest race in the world. I mean, it's a race that owners and trainers from all over the planet point for and wish they could win. So, you know, it's a pretty important thing. And it's always sad. You know, there's always one winner, sometimes two, maybe three, but then all the other horses, they just go back to the barn, get their bath and go to bed, you know.
I know. But at least they made it here.
No party for them. But it's a fantastic situation to even be involved.
I was reading something, I think, about Dwayne Lucas, and I believe he went 0-for-12. With Derby starters, and they were pretty much referring to him as one of the trainers with the worst Derby records in the history of all time.
Right.
And now he's got one of the best Derby records.
Right.
And I can't imagine winning one Derby or even coming second in the Kentucky Derby, let alone winning multiple ones.
Yeah, well,
and he's got a chance again this year.
He does. He's back in it again. So, you know, he's won it four times. And who would have thought? But I was doing some research for a piece about him, and he told his son Jeff when they won the Preakness for the first time, well, that wasn't too hard. We're going to win more of these, he said. And then it was like 8 years before he won his first Kentucky Derby.
So. On Saturday morning was the first day that I actually came out to the track, and the first thing that I saw was him sitting on his pony in front of the Twin Spires, and there's just something so iconic about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's been, he's had a tremendous career in racing and such a legend.
Even at 82, he's the first guy on the track.
Yeah, so. Look at that.
Well, we're joined now by Gary Falter from OwnerView. And good morning. How are you? Long time no see.
It's been a while.
Maybe Saratoga?
Yeah.
I don't know. So what have you been up to?
Well, just planning the next owner conference. We've got a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of balls in the air, but everything's coming together. Got great registrations this year and a lot of good speakers and sponsors. And wanted to introduce Julie Clear, my assistant, who's going to be at – she's at every conference. She's kind of runs the show. I just kind of stand back and let Julie
take care of things.
Women run everything. They run everything, and rightly so. They're so much smarter than men.
Yeah, she's been great. She handles
all
of our logistics.
We know who the brains of this duo
are. I was going to say. Good for you, Gary.
Yeah, but we're excited to be here at Churchill Downs this year. You know, we aligned ourselves with the Breeders' Cup a few years ago, and we've had the conference at recently at Del Mar during Breeders' Cup week, and then Santa Anita the year before, and that went very, very well. So we're really appreciative of the Breeders' Cup aligning with us, and so it's great to be here at Churchill Downs, historic Churchill Downs.
So is this a conference that's geared to current owners, new owners, all of the above? Talk about what the concept is, and it's your own concept that you formulated, right?
Yeah, through OwnerView. Yeah, we have the website, ownerview.com, and decided back in 2014, you know, what's our next step? What's the next thing we want to do? And that was put on this national thoroughbred owner conference. And yes, it's for all. One of the things we discussed at our steering committee level is, do we just want this conference to be for new owners or existing owners or people that have just gotten in? And the answer was all the above. And we've had great attendance by, I think the breakdown's been over the last few years, 60% of our attendees are current longtime owners and about 40% are either new or considering ownership. And just the other day, I ran into a guy, Joel, at Keeneland, who came to the conference last year and told me that after being there, and he was a new owner at the time with the Churchill Down Racing Club, he formed a partnership with four other people from the conference, and now they have horses running together.
Wow.
Oh, that's fantastic.
That's amazing.
So it's created its own group of owners in itself.
Yeah. We've had a number of people who have attended every conference, so this will be our fifth. And a number of people who will come every other year and bring friends and bring associates and folks that want to get into ownership. And it takes about 5 years for a conference to kind of find its place in any industry. And this is our fifth year. And so far, our registrations are well outpacing the past years. And we're pretty excited about that.
Oh, what kind of feedback have you guys gotten from the first 4 years? And how have you kind of implemented that and changed your content, changed your structure this year?
Yeah, well, every year we ask for, we have a feedback form that we send to all of our attendees and ask them, you know, help us learn what we could have done better, what content you would have liked to have seen. And each year we implement something new based on that feedback. But, I mean, overall, the response has been very positive. Over 90% of the people that fill out these feedback forms said, I love it, great conference, I'll be sure to come back and tell others about it. So, you know, every year we change something up. This year we've added some new panels, and each year we try to change the panels up so we're not just dusting off the same topics every year and bringing the same people. So we have new topics every year, and a lot of our attendees help us decide what new topics to bring in and what new events to bring in.
And if I could jump in on that, too, as executive producer, when we started this whole effort, we didn't want this to be your traditional conference with skirted tables and microphones in front of people. So it's a full-on show. It's a production where we've got everything from cameras and music and superstars coming in. And in that regard, it is different. But I think one of the most important parts about the feedback that we're getting is that people like to network with each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we give a lot of time to have social interaction and networking. We'll be here at the track. We bring them to a lot of Breeders' Cup activities. And it's a full 4 days, really. It's a four-day experience. Even though the main conference is two full days of panels, we've got people coming and going. And again, we want to make it fun, too, because horse racing is fun.
Well,
if you can't have a good time, yet.
Yeah, we sure hope it's fun. And,
absolutely.
And what about how hard is it to keep it all fresh and do the different things? Do you, like, sit around and brainstorm, or do you just use the feedback, or how does that work?
We do a lot of both, actually. So we have a steering committee that helps us out with industry folks involved. We take a lot of information from the evaluations that we get. And then there's that special touch that we're always looking for, which is either related to something local. Mm-hmm. We're, of course, in Kentucky, we have a lot of super brands. We've got Slugger, we've got the Derby, we've got Colonel Sanders, you know, so you don't know who's going to show up. So, which
that's
is kind of
cool.
Nice, you know, because we try to entrench ourselves in what's going on mm-hmm. locally so that people really want to come. Of course, it's hard to turn away coming from Churchill Downs. It's so spectacular. But there are some things that we've got in the works, which will be fun for everybody.
Go ahead.
You want to go?
No, go ahead.
Okay. I was just curious, because of the feedback and prospective owners, have you guys seen a lot of people or prospective owners kind of saying that there's an intimidation factor and getting into the game? What has been the feedback from those prospective owners?
Well, just to back up a little bit on OwnerView, we learned back in 2011 through the McKinsey study that took place throughout the industry that, yeah, it was difficult for mm-hmm. people to get into the game. They said it was like a board game with no instructions. And so, you know, they came to us, the Jockey Club, and said, you need to develop some new resources and tools to encourage ownership. And that's when we launched OwnerView.com to just kind of be an aggregator of all that information. So we've got that website that gets a lot of traffic. And then by having the owner conference where – you know, prospective owners, new owners, and existing—they can network and mingle and have access to amazing people in our industry. I mean, people like Barbara Banky, who's been involved every year, George Bolton. We had Gary Player as our keynote speaker in the first year, and he was at the conference the entire time, networking and talking to people. So, one of the things I've heard over and over again is people were so pleased that they had access to so many experts, so many people who are in the industry that are willing to share their experiences, willing to share their knowledge with anybody who attends the conference.
Yeah, well, you mentioned the social aspect, and then the mentoring, too, is so important.
Yeah, absolutely.
I used to do some work for the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association with the Greatest Game Program, and the mentoring was so important to people because a lot of times people have the money, they have the desire, they just need somebody to lead them through. Right. And if you can pair those people up, and obviously you can find some fantastic people to talk to at your conference.
Right.
You're gonna be able to get those people into the game, and you know, for me, it's like sharing joy, you know, with people. It's what I love. So if you can get somebody in, you want them to have the same passion for the game that other people have and that you have. So it's a really great thing that you're doing to get that camaraderie going and to give people an avenue to find somebody that can say, no, don't do this. You don't want to buy too many yearlings, get yourself a horse that's going to run, you know, whatever it is that they have had good luck with. That's what they're going to tell these people. But they have experience and the know-how and are able to do that. So it's a really good idea.
Well, and one of the newest trends in the industry are the racing clubs. Mm-hmm. And so being here at Churchill Downs, we're going to work closely with Gary Pomisano and his group to get a number of the racing club members to come to the conference, because we know out of 900 members, not every one of them are going to step into a higher level of ownership, but there is a percentage of them who would be interested, and we want to expose those people to the people in the conference, the topics, the education, and all the social events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I think the most challenging thing is to have an owner have a successful first year, because if they don't, then it kind of puts a bad taste in their mouth, right? And they're likely not to continue spending money. So it's, I would imagine, very, very important for those networking opportunities and just that knowledge to get off on the right foot.
Absolutely. And as you say, you want them to have a great experience from the get-go, mm-hmm. but we always also present the reality side of it, because a lot of these owners have seen the ups and the downs. And if you only gave the bright, shiny, hey, you're going to win every time moments to these folks, they would start to think, maybe not so much. You know. So we do have folks who come on our panels who are industry experts who will sit there and say, it was tough, but it meant the world to me. It meant the world to my family. I could bring my kids into it. And eventually you get there. And those are some of the best stories because, you know, it's supposed to be fun. And it always is fun regardless. But you really want to win. We get that, too. You really want to win. So, and part of the conference also now is that you get to go to the Breeders' Cup races as well. So when we get our conference started, on a Tuesday morning, then we go right through the Breeders' Cup races, and everybody who attends our conference has the opportunity to go to the Breeders' Cup with us.
Wow, that's incredible experience that not everybody gets to do. So what's kind of like the schedule of events for, from Tuesday throughout Breeders' Cup week for you guys?
Well, we start off Monday night with the Breeders' Cup draw and reception. So we've done that the last couple of years, and that's been very popular with all of our attendees. So we'll start there. And then Tuesday morning, we'll come here on track to the Breakfast Marquee. That's been great the last 2 years at Santa Anita and Del Mar. So we'll be here on track Tuesday morning. And then we're going to get on some buses and head to Lexington to go to some stallion farms. Mm. And then come back in the afternoon, have our first panel that I think Mike Penna is going to moderate. And then that'll be late in the afternoon. Then we're going to have a reception planned at the Derby Museum. And then come back Wednesday with a full day of conference panels and some great experts, great speakers, a nice lunch here at the track. And then come back Thursday again, panels and lunch, and have hopefully a little bit of racing at the end of the day. So we've got our conference dinner planned Wednesday night at the Marriott in downtown Louisville. So that'll be our big, big social event. And people will be, again, have a chance to network and meet speakers and meet other owners from around the country.
Yeah. That sounds like a fun week.
Yeah. Very cool. I used to train for a lady that her husband had passed away, and she really liked racing, but he was so-so. He'd go to the races with her, but when she passed away, she wanted to keep a piece of a horse so she could stay in touch with her friends at the track and all that. And so she would always take a piece of a claimer with me, and she won some races. She loved it, and it was so good for her to be able to still get out, go to the races, and have people there that she knew, and she really enjoyed the social aspect of racing, it's great when you sit down with your friends at lunch and you're at the track and everybody's talking horses, and it's so exciting. You know, it's something that you don't get in other sports. You go to a baseball game, you sit in your chair, you watch, you cheer, you know, you spill mustard on your shirt from a hot dog, you know. But racing's so cool because you can actually make money, you know, and you can participate. Every time you put your $2 down, you're involved with that horse, and it's a sport that is really a participation sport, I think.
Yeah, and our guests, they don't stay strangers very long. I mean, they start talking about their horses and horses that the other people have, and those dialogues get going, and that's that common thread, no matter whether you're from Connecticut or Texas or California. That's that common thread that everybody has, and that love. And I'd like to give a shout-out to our sponsors. We've had a lot of great sponsors over the last 5 years, and just couldn't do this without our sponsors. Really appreciate the Horse Racing Radio Network having us on every year and the support you guys provide. And, we're looking forward to our fifth year. with the conference and great attendance and great speaker sponsors and all that goes with it.
Who's your top sponsors?
Breeders' Cup, Churchill Downs. Every year, Stone Street Farm has been a sponsor. They sponsor the wine at the dinner.
Very important.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
The number one sponsor.
Yes. Couldn't do it without them.
Yeah.
Can I get a wine sponsor?
There you go.
I bet you could.
Well, I'm going to give it a go.
Yeah. West Point, they've been a sponsor every year. We have several stallion farms that are sponsoring different panels. I mean, we're just very fortunate to have the number of sponsors and the level of sponsors that we have, and it's just we're very appreciative of that.
Well, we're very appreciative of you doing it, and it's a worthy cause, and congratulations on 5 years. That's a great accomplishment.
Well, you can find out all you need to know on ownerview.com. We have the full conference listed there, so if anybody wants to register or has questions, they can always reach me. My phone number and email address is on the website. And just hope that your listeners will sign up, and we'll see them at the races and at the conference.
That'll be really cool.
Yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming on today.
Great to be
Thanks
here.
Thanks, you guys. Appreciate you having us.
You're welcome. Well, this is Jude Feld, and you're listening to the Derby Countdown Show on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and we'll be back in 2 and 2.
Do you know how fast you were going, son?
Call me Ed.
Do you know how fast you were going, Ed?
You mean exactly?
Yes, exactly.
No, not exactly. How fast?
Fast.
Fast, sir?
You were going very fast.
Fast is my job, officer.
Fast is your job?
Yes, sir.
What kind of job?
I deliver, sir.
What do you deliver?
The world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
I thought Jimmy John's had the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
Jimmy John's does have the world's greatest gourmet sandwiches.
So you deliver for Jimmy John's?
I deliver for Jimmy John's.
So do you always deliver fast?
I always deliver fast.
How fast?
I deliver subs so fast you'll freak.
It's not smart to freak a cop, son.
You didn't order Jimmy John's sub, sir.
So if I did order a Jimmy John's sub, when would I get it?
Now.
What if I don't want it now?
Then call later.
Or I could pick it up myself.
Or you could pick it up yourself.
Because I'm pretty fast, too.
I'm sure you are, sir.
Very fast.
I believe you, sir.
Faster than you.
No way, sir.
Way faster.
In your dreams.
You dissing me, son.
No, sir, I'm polite.
Fast and polite.
Very polite and very, very fast.
Is that a challenge, son?
No, sir, it's a fact.
Let's burn rubber, kid.
It wouldn't be fair.
Why not?
You've got a fully blown V8 Camaro with slicks and headers.
So?
I've got a 10-speed bike.
I'll let you off with a warning.
Order Jimmy John's sandwich delivery today. Jimmy John's, where fresh and fast meet. The brilliant Bodemeister is carrying on the Empire Maker line, siring Kentucky Derby winner Always Dreaming in his first crop.
And the dream comes true! Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby!
The number one second crop sire in 2017 is also represented by American Anthem and is poised for another brilliant year. Visit WinStarFarm.com. That's WinStarFarm.com.
OwnerView's Thoroughbred Owner Conference is bringing thoroughbred ownership into view. Plan on attending this innovative and entertaining conference focused on thoroughbred ownership. You'll enjoy panel discussions from industry experts, wonderful social events, and engaging networking opportunities throughout the week of the 2018 Breeders' Cup Championships at historic Churchill Downs. Visit OwnerView.com and register now. That's OwnerView.com.
It's Derby Week, and there's no better way to prepare than with a copy of Daily Racing Form. This year, Daily Racing Form is available exclusively at local retailers in Louisville, so be sure to pick up your copy before you head to Churchill Downs, as it will not be sold on track. There are additional sellers throughout Louisville from now through Derby Day. For a complete listing of stores in the Louisville area, visit drf.com/Louisville. That's drf.com/Louisville to find a retailer near you.
Hi, this is Chris McCarron, and you're listening to the best horse racing show on the radio on Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by your Lexington area Jimmy Johns on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
And they're into the stretch, and it's American Pharoah who has taken the lead on the outside. In between horses, it's firing line. Dortmund is down at the rail as they come into the final furlong. American Pharoah, firing line, not done yet. And these two come into the final 16th. It's American Pharoah in front, firing line. Dortmund is third, Frosted is fourth. Coming to the finish, American Pharoah and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby. Firing line was second, Dortmund was third, Frosted finished fourth. In a final time of 2 minutes 3.02 seconds, Victor Espinosa has won the Kentucky Derby 2 years in a row.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown Show. This is Jude Feld, and I'm with Gabby Gaudette. And that really wasn't the story, Victor Espinosa winning two Kentucky Derbies in a row. That was kicking off the Triple Crown.
Yeah.
What do you think this year? Triple Crown? No.
Oh.
Triple Crown? Too many good horses? Not enough? Great horses?
You know, I do think that this is one of the most evenly matched fields that we've seen of really, really talented horses. I guess it depends on two horses and whether or not they're the real deal, Justify and Mendelsohn. You know, they just seem like Justify really hasn't been tested in the afternoon in terms of dynamics of the race. You know, he's pretty much had ideal situations every time. And Mendelsohn is kind of still to be determined if he can take that form from Dubai and apply it here to Churchill. But those two horses, from what we've seen, at least in the afternoon, they kind of look freakish. It just depends on if they can keep going, really. I mean, I'm not picking either of them in the Derby, but I think that, do you know what I'm trying to say?
I know exactly
like,
what
if it's
to
going
say.
To be a Triple Crown year, it's going to probably be one of those.
It's got to be a spectacular horse.
Yes.
If Bolt Oro maybe doesn't fit in there? Or
he might. He mm-hmm. might. I don't know. I'll come out and say it. My pick is going to be Vino Rosso. Sometimes, you
who
know,
I also like.
Do you? Yeah. I asked someone the other day. I'm not going to name names, but I'm going to be talking to him later tonight on a panel. Dan Torgman. I said,
you got a little Indian Charlie style going here.
I said, so who are your top three for the Derby? And he sends me back. He goes, well, I've got a top 12. Like, yeah, you're going to have to dwindle that down a little bit.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you could really make a case for probably 12 horses in there.
Yeah.
In terms of Vino Rosso, I have liked him for far too long to jump off of him now. I remember the Tampa Bay Derby. I was covering it, and I talked to Johnny Velazquez, and he said, Gabby, this horse is one of the best horses I've ever been on in the morning, Breezing. And before the Tampa Bay Derby, he said, I just hope he doesn't prove me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he did that day. He didn't run a good race, that's for sure. But he finally proved him right in the Wood Memorial. So to me, given both Todd and Johnny's confidence in the horse, it just seems like there's got to be something underneath the surface there that hopefully will be exposed on Saturday.
Yeah, well, it was very telling that he chose to mm-hmm. ride Vino Rosso over basically all of Todd's. I liked that, but I really loved his last race where he made that sustained three-quarter of a mile run, and I think that's one of the things you need in the Derby. You need to be able to run
mm-hmm.
at top speed for a long time, and he
True.
Certainly has that. I mean, you know, Mind That Bird, you can say what you want about him being mm-hmm. 50-1 and all that stuff, but he made that tremendous run that
yep.
he never stopped. And I got that same feeling watching Vino Rosso last time, and that's why I've kind of embraced him
mm-hmm.
as my Derby horse. Plus, Mike and I have him in the Churchill Downs fantasy contest,
oh, okay.
so it would be good for us.
Yeah, very good. But I can, and also, I mean, he is a tremendous workhorse, but, and it's funny to see that Audible has been the exact opposite. He's really not that flashy in the morning, and that was kind of all of that surrounded him going into the Florida Derby, saying that he wasn't working good. How is Todd running him? Yada, yada. Again, and Todd, we trust. But it's been interesting, and I think Audible worked with Vino Rosso one morning going into in prep for the Florida Derby. And you can just see the difference between a good workhorse and a bad workhorse. But it can all change in
right.
the afternoon.
Yeah, the afternoon's definitely different than the mornings. Well, we want to remind everybody that today is Jock Talk Day, presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka. The special guest will be Hall of Famer jockey Steve Cawthon. Sirius 219 XM 201. And on our website, horseracingradio.net, Christina McManigal with a very special interview with Steve Cawthon. You won't want to miss that. And tomorrow on Trainer Talk, Mike and I sat down with Brett Calhoun, and you're going to really love that. Brett Calhoun's a really cool guy, so don't forget that. Kentucky Oaks Day, we have exclusive coverage presented by TwinSpires.com. That begins at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming on the website Horse Racing Radio. NYRBets.net. We're going to have the special edition of the NYRA Bets Weekend Stakes Preview at 3 p.m. that day. That's a different time than we usually do, but with the Oaks coverage, we had to switch it around. So remember, if you want to hear Anthony and I on the Stakes Preview show, sponsored by NYRA Bets, 3 o'clock Eastern Time. On Derby Day, we kick off with a special Derby Day edition of the Equine Forum, presented by FarmPaint.com. That goes from 8 to 10 Eastern, the usual time, on Sirius 219 XM 201. And terrestrial affiliates in Lexington and Louisville streaming on our website as well. Our coverage of the Derby undercard, presented by TwinSpires.com, begins at 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Saturday afternoon. And before we segue into our exclusive coverage of the 144th running of the Run for the Roses at 5 p.m. Eastern Time in partnership with NBC Sports and Westwood One, you and I are going to do an hour. So you don't want to miss that at 4 o'clock. Because it'll be the Gabby and Jude show, and then all of the coverage Saturday afternoon airing on Sirius XM 93, terrestrial affiliates across the country, and streaming on horseracingradio.net. So on Saturday, we'll do a race, but we'll also talk about our picks and who we like for the Derby, and people can get down and avoid the rush. Yeah, I hope so, too. Nothing beats leaving Churchill Downs with a pile full of money.
Which never happens to me Derby weekend. Well, actually, it did. 3 years ago, I did. I scored big because I think Dallas Stewart was in there. And every time Dallas Stewart has a horse in the Derby, I always throw him into exotics. This year, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Well, we'll figure it out. By Saturday, we'll be ready.
Okay.
There's one thing I think I really want to do is I want to bet Rhea to Mendelsohn in the Oaks Derby double.
Okay.
Because if we're right about Mendelsohn and what a great race he ran, Rhea ran second to him, right?
Yep.
Why couldn't it just be a Dubai double?
We could see it.
All right. Well, this is Jude Feld. Thanks, everybody, for listening. I'm with Gabby Gaudette here at Churchill Downs. We had a great time. Hope you did. And we hope that you tune in tomorrow, same time, 7:30. Gabby will be giving her opinions right off the bat when we come on the air. So see you tomorrow.